Welcome! You're listening to The Creative Spark with award-winning author, actor, four-time Ironman triathlete, coach, and TEDx speaker G. Brian Benson, where he chats up inspiring, creative, and thought-provoking authors, athletes, actors, artists, and entrepreneurs from all walks of life as they share their stories, success habits, struggles, and wisdom that propelled them to their own unique version of success. Be prepared each episode to be inspired, learn something new, and have some helpful takeaways that will provide insight, empowerment, and tools to live your best life.
Hey, welcome to the next episode of The Creative Spark. My next guest, Brenda Adelman, is an award-winning actor, speaker, the recipient of a Hero of Forgiveness Award from the Hawaii International Forgiveness Project, and has been interviewed on over 200 media outlets, including NPR, Fox TV, and CBS. She's performed her critically acclaimed one-woman show, My Brooklyn Hamlet, for over 12,000 people worldwide. She's a digital course creator, coach, and has developed and directed over 200 TED-style talks and stories for the stage for her clients. And she also wrote a book titled, My Father Killed My Mother and Married My Aunt, Forgiving the Unforgivable. Welcome. How's it going, Brenda?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh my gosh.
Quite the introduction. Every time I listen, it's almost like I'm listening to another person's life, you know?
I can relate. It's very interesting, right? Wonder why that is.
I think part of it's because so much of the big hairy stuff is behind me. So it is like listening to another person's life, you know? Yeah. And also, I guess, because, you know, it's all the things I do or have done, well, some part of it, but it's not the beingness, you know what I'm saying? So maybe that's why as well.
Yeah. I think I love both of those answers. I think maybe for me, sometimes I'll hear that. It's like, wait, who is that? I mean, we've had many different lifetimes, obviously, but I think for me too, also, I think some of that maybe has to stem with, like, I don't know, self-acceptance and self-worthiness and like the imposter thing sometimes, you know what I mean? Not so much anymore as I've really done the work and kind of worked through it, but it's like, dang, I did all that. What?
I know, it's true. It is funny, right? Like maybe we don't give ourselves credit or we forget how much we've done or been through and all that. So then I listen, I'm like, that's quite accomplished.
Yeah. Oh my God. Absolutely. I mean, everybody, we need to be patting ourselves on the back. And I definitely didn't do that enough as I should have earlier on, you know what I mean? And really, truly enjoy the journey. I mean, I'm sure you can relate, you know, we enjoy the creative process, but yet sometimes maybe when it's out there and it's like, what's next? Or I don't know. I mean, I'm speaking for myself.
I think, you know, it's interesting for me because I'm back in Los Angeles, a city that I have a love-hate relationship with. Never thought I'd be back here. But I reflect on, I mean, I came back this time for love. I guess the first time it was for love and acting. But I feel like I'm seeing the city in a whole different way, myself in a whole different way. I think sometimes it can be easy to go into a big city like this and just get drawn into the expectations of the industry and the expectations of who, let me speak in I language, who I should be, what I should accomplish, when I should accomplish that by. And I know for me, when I lived here in my 30s, I didn't have that presence. I didn't have the presence of my witness there seeing what I was doing. It was more like, what is the next thing, you know, and who can I be for the casting director instead of who am I and what do I want to do in this world, which is who I am now.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, I think we also, when we go into a situation like that, I know for myself, since I was there for 10 years, but it's like a huge comparison. We're always comparing ourselves to other people or being compared, you know, in auditions.
Oh, yeah, you are being compared. So it's interesting. Yeah.
You really need to have a strong foundation of self-worth.
Yeah, you know, it was so interesting for me because now you're in Arizona, right? Near where I used to live. And since I'm from New York, and then so I went from New York pretty much to Los Angeles, it was moving out of New York and living in Sedona that actually let me understand who I was, not in comparison to anyone else or in some weird, it's like the difference between being a small fish in a big pond or a big fish in a small pond, and then realizing it's all no comparison, you know? on top of that.
Yeah.
So it was really taking, it took me to get out of a big city to find out who I was without the influence of everything else, you know?
Yeah, no, I can relate. I've had my own little journeys too, you know, just to kind of try to step back into the person that I really was instead of trying to maybe who I thought I needed to be or show everybody.
Right, remembering who you are. And it's not, I mean, yeah, this experience in LA is very different. And this is my third time here. I came back a second time, and that was after Hawaii. Hawaii was pretty magical for me as well. And then I came back a second time. It's not like LA is a bad city. It's not. There's so much talent here. And I do know a lot of people here because from my acting and also from my, I got my master's in spiritual psychology here. And it's like, who are you? Who am I in the midst of the culture I am in? Who am I around the people that I'm with, the opportunities that are around, you know? And as an empath, not getting caught up in, I think sometimes in LA, there's this transitional nature, you know, a lot of people do move here to get something or be something instead of already knowing they are something, you know?
Oh, I totally recognize that in acting classes. You know, you just see a lot of people who, we're all working on something, but maybe just still kind of trying to be that person that they're not, because maybe they're unhappy themselves or they've had to, some wounds or something that they're trying to heal from. And so they go there to escape that. And I don't know. Does that make sense? I mean, it was very interesting witnessing that.
I mean, for a lot of people, like LA is the big city, right? It wasn't a big city for me because I came from New York, but you know,
it was for me.
Oh, I bet.
From Oregon originally, yeah.
Right. So it's like, oh my God, wow. And of course there's the characters. I know it's kind of caricature-y, but sure. When I first came here for like meeting some producer types and all these, you gotta watch out for yourself in this city too, especially if you're from a small town. Yeah, it's kind of interesting to just look reflect back at the different stages of my life, and you know, I love acting so much, and you know, my path has been to create a one-person show based on my life, and that is so much more fulfilling for me at this point in my life than going on auditions or even getting back into the acting here, you know, because I have an online business. I have all this other stuff that I do, but there's something so rewarding about presenting this show because it makes such a difference in the world, and it gives me full self-expression. And it's part of, you know, the message for me of, you know, forgiving the unforgivable. So
yeah,
I am right now. I just performed, by the way, here in LA a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, that's
first
amazing.
Time since the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, this is, I mean, we have so much to cover, but let's talk about My Brooklyn Hamlet and, you know, what the story was based on, and you know, when did you know you needed to create and share it?
Yeah. So my father shot and killed my mother back in 1995 and married her sister, my aunt. And it devastated me. I was very close with both of my parents, like overly close, although considering I only had them until, you know, I was not very long. I guess I'm glad I was as close as I was because, you know, they've been gone long, both of them, for all intents and purposes, they've been gone since 1995. However, I did have an on again, off again relationship with my father for a few years after that, just because I couldn't cope emotionally with losing both of my parents in one night, and I chose to believe his lies about it being an accident or whatever. I wasn't listening to my inner guidance. I was just listening to my father. And so one of the things I didn't want to share my story. I was filled with shame. I was embarrassed by my family. I felt like I was damaged because of what happened. About a year after my mom was killed, I found my way back to acting class because I had been an actress already, hiding behind the characters and the scripts and the, you know, and I can, and it was a way for me to express my emotions, but never telling anybody who I was or what I had been through. You know, how when people are going through something, they think everybody can see it, which they can't, although I will say in the long run, they do. They see it on your face, on your unhealed issues, on your, you know, anger, your tight jaw, you know. Some people get sick if they don't let go of this stuff. So So it was a couple of years after when at night I couldn't sleep. I had broken up with my fiance. I was so alone. I wasn't speaking with my brother at the time either. So I just felt alone, so alone in this world. Definitely did not want to live. Wanted to be with my mother. I thought that was the answer, that if I, took my own life, I'd be with her. And then during one of these sleepless nights, I just heard God. I felt a light. I thought it was my mother talking to me because I did feel a connection with her. I didn't know what it was. It was that universal presence, and it was this feeling of I'm gonna be okay. And I'm starting to cry right now because it was so incredibly different from anything I had been experiencing in my life. And it was really from this place that I started writing in my journal at night. And I started writing feverishly, about 100 poems in 30 days. They were dark and they were ugly and they were tense and they were sexual. And I'd finally wake up in the next, the next day and be like, who wrote this? Because I was like, that's not me, because I'm the nice girl. I'm the one who follows the rules. I'm like, who is this? But really, it was, my inner world that had collapsed, expressing itself. But it was one of those poems that I was guided to ask in my acting class that I was in if I could do something called a personal monologue. And they said yes. And I took one of those poems, which was a poem. It was between, there were three characters, me and my brother and my father. And it was this poem where I was like confronting my father. What happened? What happened? What happened? And all he keeps saying is, I don't remember. And in the poem, I pulled a gun on him because I so wanted to desperately believe that he didn't remember, but I didn't shoot it, but it was all in my head. And of course, healing parts of myself that needed that. And I turned that into the first scene of my one person show that then I wrote the show around it. Not thinking it would be a show, just literally like, how can I get on stage and share? There were 100 people in class. I was so filled with shame too, but it was that inner guidance that got me on stage. And I ended up having, 100 people. I got a standing ovation for 10 minutes. And I had people in the class afterwards tell me like they healed something from watching my experience. And it was a short piece then. And that was, there was a director in the class who wanted to direct me. And then I found a producer who wanted to produce it. Like it was so real and raw and not really what you see out there. And so I just kept saying yes to the opportunities, and actually helping other people is what gave me the courage, because I hadn't done any of the inner work back then. So I did my first long, full-length show a couple of years later at a theater in LA, and people would laugh, people would cry. I knew how to write from being an actress for so long. Knew how to act, and then I would go home and be absolutely miserable and not want to live. And so then it was like, well, why am I doing this? This is bullshit. But what it did is it drove me, it led me to the work I needed to do. I got a master's in spiritual psychology. I took time off from acting and I looked at, okay, let me move from why did this happen to how can I thrive now that it has. And in that, during that class, I also made the decision to take my dad to court. I forgave him and I took him to court for wrongful death. And, but I did that from a place of self-love and self-honor versus revenge. That was a turning point in my life, standing up for myself like that. And then I rewrote the ending of the show and then have been going strong with it. And at some point, it turned into a gift for other people because I had done my work so deeply.
Well, thank you for sharing all that. So, I mean, it sounds like those initial poems were kind of like the dam broke open, and it kind of allowed you to
That was
start
the
to kind of
catalyst.
step into it and begin the process and follow the intuitive breadcrumbs and the opportunities, and voila, here you are. But you've been doing it for a while. Has it gotten easier to do it, or do you, is it
A good question.
still hard on you?
At different times, I have been doing it on and off for over a decade, and even like this was the first time I performed it since the pandemic on stage in front of an audience. But even during the pandemic, I had three different theaters produce the show for cameras. There are times when it has been easier to do it, in that there was a point several years ago where I really had done so much inner work and I'm healthy. So that when I do it on stage, I jump into it like I would any character. Like I don't take it on after the show. It's like I give everything I can on stage and then it's over. And in some ways it's just really a feeling of self-expression and it's wonderful. In the beginning when I was doing the show, before I'd done the level of healing I've done, it was hard because I also had this thing I think a lot of actors have, right? Because I've been teaching storytelling over the years too. A lot of people have, I think, is they want to entertain and inspire and get people to the next part of it. And so, for example, the very first time I put the show up before I got my finished my master's, I when it came to the part of sharing that I didn't want to live anymore, I would just touch on it and then be like, ba-da-da-da-da, but I'm fine now, you know? Can you relate, you know?
Yeah.
And that actually keeps me as the actor stuck and the audience stuck. So it was in, you know, I've got my over 10,000 hours on stage at this point. I realize that when I actually give more and allow a little more time for the audience, that it's a better experience for everyone as I go toward the next part of the show, which is finding forgiveness and opening up to spirit. So it's like it's a richer experience. So so therefore, by the end of the show, it's been a journey for everybody. So that said, you know, because there's been times I've done it 6 times a week and stuff like that. So I know how to deliver, but I've also learned that I don't want to just deliver. I want to have it be an experience for me and the audience. So it's more fulfilling for me. But back in 2019, I was on stage in Mexico, San Miguel, doing a 35-minute version of the show. I was traveling in a second show with two other wonderful storytellers and performers. And I had done a healing around my father earlier that year, right? Because we're never done. Like because I also teach healing, you know, around forgiveness. Anyone who says, oh, yeah, I got it, you know, I know they're going to get another lesson, most likely. Most likely they'll get another lesson down the line. So I thought I had done all the work. And then I was, a Father's Day that year, I had this insight that I guidance that I wanted to go shooting. Because I had been, you know, I used to go shooting with my dad and even with my mom, and I hadn't shot a gun since my mother was killed. And so my friend Robert took me to a shooting range. And when I went there, I was like, I wanted to take my power back. And I shot a bullseye. Have you ever gone shooting?
A couple times, not in a...
Oh, not in a target.
But outside, yeah.
Okay, well, when you go to a target range, you know, they'll have these... they'll have the bullseye, but they'll also have these pictures of like a gangster or something.
Like it's the not movies, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a cartoon kind of character, which is kind of reminds me of my father because he was an alpha male, you know, kind of thing. And so anyway, I shot a good shot and I took the target sheet home. In my mind, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll use it in my show. But it was also a very emotional experience for me, you know, just taking my power back. But I brought the target sheet home. And then I swear my life was just not working for a couple of months. Everything seemed to just be slow. And I was like, I think I need to do a ceremony of release around this target, you know, around the sheet. And so I did that during the holidays. It was around the holidays. I did a fire ceremony and I released everything into the fire. And then I go on stage a couple of weeks later in Mexico. And the most incredible thing happens because I've done the show so much. It's usually like, I know where the points are. I know where I'm angry here. I'm in the moment, but I know what lands. And when I went to do that scene that I just talked about, that scene that started it all where I confront my father, it's usually really angry. And what happened? What happened? And all of a sudden, instead of it being super angry, I broke down in sobs. And I just almost couldn't get it back because there's was sadness behind that anger. And I know that during that release exercise, I found this loving that was underneath that anger. So that was one of those moments where life and art came together. So even though I had done all the work and it hadn't been painful or anything. So to make a long story short, that was a pretty intense performance.
to say the least.
You could not hear a pin drop. It was incredible, and everybody was with me. And the last part of the show was spent me trying to regather myself. Thank God I had all the experience on stage, so I could still talk it through. And it was like I was back in 1990, whatever. And I was, you know, trying to gather myself. But what happened was, because I was on tour with these other two women, one of the women kind of comes on at the end of the show and does a little funny piece, and nobody was laughing because it was so deep. So then I had to look at, how do I do it? We had the show a few nights in a row. How do I do it the next night so that it's not that painful? Because that was painful to actually experience, but it was part of the process. Mm-hmm. And so I just looked at it and I found a new part of my show. All these years later, I found that I had been talking about that experience with God, but never showing it. And then it was like, oh, let me show it. That's why it's so incredible to get on stage with our stories, because you never know where you're going to learn something more about yourself, express yourself more. And then I incorporated that, not that night, the night after, and it was wonderful. And people could laugh after, because it was such a release, because I went from that real, truthful hate, love, conflict to God, presence. Oh my God. And then it was just incredibly beautiful, because I do a ceremony of release and forgiveness at the end of the show. So I say that because it was a journey, but it felt great afterwards. Like it only doesn't feel good like in the beginning when it was like, well, no, wait, let me do an addendum to that. I just did the show a couple of weeks ago, right? And I hadn't done it for, you know, since 2019, actually, in person. And it was kind of painful, I'll be honest. It was kind of painful. But I feel like that was because I'm at a new level of depth. Like with a lot of people, I think with the pandemic, I looked so deeply into my life, and certainly my mental health was challenged, as I imagine. Well, I know, because I have coaching clients, you know.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people have been challenged. And I really am so much, it sounds really weird to say it, but I've just gone so much deeper that as I was doing, because it was a one night performance, right? It wasn't like, oh, I'm rehearsing for 5 weeks with a director and then I'm going up. It was a little painful to perform, but also because I decided to not just do it by rote. I decided to learn something new about myself and throw myself into the characters. And so I think because it was so deep that it was a little painful, but at the end, it was like, oh my God. And
another layer.
And it was the people, you know, I did a Q&A after. I changed people's lives, which is why I do it. So even though I had to deal with a little bit of that being painful for me, it was like, you know, there was this 22-year-old or something who in the Q&A was like, oh, I can express my emotions. I've been holding them in and I've been so angry and I don't want my daughter to get that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I do it.
Well, I
do
it. Yeah. I mean, it seems to me, I mean, definitely the whole pandemic just turn the world upside down in so many different ways for everybody. And it really made us all think a lot deeper and such. But I mean, having maybe reached those deeper layers that you have, it's also helped you maybe become a little bit more empathetic, even more empathetic with the people that you work with and coach. And you know, as a coach and a creative, what do you see when you work with people, what do folks most desire in their lives? What are they missing when they come to work with you?
Yeah, the pandemic has definitely changed things, right? Thank God for my virtual connections and my clients during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I feel like actually people are searching for more fun and more joy in their life. Mm. They really are. They really are, at least the people that I'm working with. Mm-hmm. Like life has been, there was so much isolation for so many people. I feel very lucky because I actually fell in love during the pandemic and, you know, was not so alone. Mm-hmm. But there were so many people that were so alone during that time. I would say I think that's what it is. Like, sure, I work with people who are wanting to express themselves and wanting to make a living with their creativity, right? Or, you know, I work with so many entrepreneurs now, they want to infuse creativity into their job. It's like, there's a lot of people who like, used to act or be on the debate team when they were in high school or college, and then they haven't acted since then, and now they want to do a talk, but you know, they're bored with the talk and the formulas and everything. And so I'm helping them like really go for it and express their emotions and be given permission to be bigger and bolder. And you know, I think those my clients come to me for that too, like a seeking of permission, because mm-hmm. I'm so forthright with what happens in my life, because so many people have lived through so many terrible things. If you know, in the world of right and wrong, you would say they were wrong, you know, abuse and all kinds of things. And I feel mm-hmm. like they come to me because they're ready to heal. They're ready mm-hmm. to finally heal, you know. And you know, the healing part can be confrontational, but because of how I have healed myself, I am like, it's like, yeah, it's uncomfortable. And you don't have to access yourself right back into your head and pretend and compartmentalize. That's the worst thing, because then that stays with you for the rest of your life instead of unlocking that energy that's in there. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But you want to feel safe. I guess people want to feel safe too.
For sure. You know, and I think I know for myself, and I mean, I think what you said is total. I mean, yes, definitely healing and maybe just kind of maybe add some creativity to what, you know, their talks, what they're doing to try to for their own business. But I think, I don't know, for myself, I know that there's this, like, I know I have this mission inside me, you know what I mean? I've known it since I was really little. And I don't know, do people come to you maybe kind of like hoping that you maybe help unlock that for them a little bit, or maybe find a way for them to express what they feel like they were supposed to do?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so much. The bottom of everything I do, like the storytelling, it's about the message they have. And mm-hmm. that's, for me, how I work, is it's based on, you know, your experiences. So if you're compartmentalizing or pushing it down or thinking, oh, well, that really didn't matter, then you're not on your mission. Because I really feel like I believe I lived through what I did so that I could be doing exactly this, even though it gets tough at times. And even though I don't want to get on camera, or I don't want to get on stage sometimes, or, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, but I know how many people I help. And I feel like, yeah, my clients, they really want to have other people not maybe be as depressed as them. Right? I work with a lot of clients who have had mental health challenges and stuff, you know, or have wanted to take their lives and move through it. And, you know, just grew up in such horrible families, or even, you know, sometimes with a parent that's narcissistic. And of course, those are all things I can relate to because my father was. Mm-hmm. I want to say though that, you know, my mother was so loving to me. Sometimes I feel like I am doing as well as I am, all things considered, because, you know, I had this tragic thing happen with my father shooting and killing my mom, but I had the foundation of feeling loved, because even though my father was a narcissist and sociopath, which of course are things I learned afterwards, being on the side of, I don't know if you know much about narcissists, but he put me up on a pedestal. And even though I learned later on that when a narcissist does that, they will tear you down from it, or they will abandon you. They'll do all these things when you're not, you know, they're not a hero to you. Mm. Still, when I was young, when in those formidable years, I felt a sense of being lovable no matter what. And I feel like that's the foundation of why I'm able to hold for my clients and hold on stages and be able to see that things are okay, because I innately feel I'm lovable, whereas there's some people who definitely have been brought up. So many people have been brought up with parents.
Don't feel it.
Yeah, because their parents, they didn't have that adult that loved them. And so even though they might not have lived through something as tragic in a dramatic way as me, they struggle sometimes with life because they didn't know innately that they were just good enough, you know?
Well, no, yeah, absolutely. Maybe one of the gifts that you also have is, like, when you do work with people who feel that way, you're able to kind of maybe give them permission, not only with the shows and stuff to share their story, but like just to be self-accepting and
yes. Oh,
lovable.
Yeah. I mean, I started coaching on forgiveness way back in like 2006. Mm. And I really explored how I was able to forgive my father And it all really came down to self-forgiveness. Like, I couldn't forgive him. I couldn't express myself. I couldn't do any of that until I fully and completely loved myself. And of course, I'm human and I definitely am not 100% at that a lot of the time.
Nobody is.
Right. But from where I was and not trusting myself, like, I feel like actually one of the biggest things that helped me, and I definitely teach all this to my clients, you know, because it seeps into everything that I do, unless I'm focusing on forgiveness, which I've done a few forgiveness. I brought back a few forgiveness programs because while I teach healing from stories in my storytelling, sometimes I just want to focus on forgiveness because it is that foundation. And I can't remember what I was saying, but it just is that, oh, the inner child's work. Years and years ago, the biggest thing for me, it was the journal writing, like witnessing the story that I had gone through and realizing, like, moving from having it in my head to writing it down was a huge breakthrough for me, because then I could have compassion for what I went through instead of compartmentalizing and making things smaller and not giving myself permission. And then it was inner child's work that was like listening to my inner child, which I learned in my master's program, the way they taught it, and being like, what does she want to say? Like, she doesn't trust me. She has a good reason, because, you know, I trusted my father. But then the next step is forgiving myself for trusting my father or anyone else, a spouse, a blah, blah, blah. You know, we all have people that we've trusted. And I think people don't, I think in my experience, we don't take responsibility for the people we've trusted that were not trustworthy, because we start beating ourselves up. So the biggest thing for me was like, my inner child could get, like, guide me. What am I supposed to do? But like, I have to be the adult now. I can't blame anything on my mother, my father, society, anything. Like, as the adult, how do I make choices that I can trust myself? So even in little steps, like, what can I do? Who can I talk to? Who can I say no to? Who can I have in my life? What can I eat today? Can I exercise today? Like, little steps that I keep, you know, just building the trust within myself, so that when bigger things happen, I know that I'll make a really wise decision, building the trust within myself. And of course, for me, following my gut.
It sounds like a form of self-empowerment.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, oh my God, knowing who to trust and knowing that I could trust myself, that was huge. Mm. You don't really have to, right, hold on to hate and anger and all that if you know you can make wise decisions, right? Like, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's only bringing more negativity in the world. So like, forgiving my father was a huge, huge thing. And that just meant, you know, letting go of the resentment I had toward him so that I could move on with my life and create wonderful relationships and express myself and not feel scared to, or like I'm beholden. Cause that's one of the things that comes up with storytellers too, is like, I don't know if I can talk about, you know, so-and-so in my life because they're going to be mad at me. And it's like, well, that number one, they shouldn't have done what they did, or give them an opportunity to look at the effect it had. And you know, because I also teach, don't vilify anyone, just tell the truth. But so many people live in, oh, I better not say something. And that's different from, oh, I want to honor this person, I'm in a relationship. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't say you have to share everything. That's different. But there's so many people that are freaking, you know, it's like, how old do you have to be like, oh, I don't have to protect that person anymore. That's just learned behavior, you know?
Right.
So yeah. I am a permission giver, that's for sure.
No, that's the best thing that we can do. And I hope that I kind of do that in my own different ways, with some of the ways I've stepped out of my comfort zone, just like you have. And the more people that do that, just the more people become more self-accepting and self-aware and become a better version of themselves, which in turn just makes everything better.
I know, it makes everything better, but you know, it is scary to face confrontation, you know, especially if you're saying something as someone, but yeah, you have, it's like, there's really an opportunity to learn what happened in your life. Not vilify anybody, which is hard to do. And I certainly still have a hard time with that when it comes to any of my clients who talk to me about child abuse, right?
Yeah.
But it's not saying they didn't do something wrong. It's just saying they no longer take up space in my body, my heart, my soul, my mind. They can no longer take from me, you know? So
that's powerful.
It's the energy of changing the emotion around it so that you're free from what that person maybe took from you.
Yeah.
You know?
What we're going to take a little side trip here. What does creativity mean to you? Since this is the creative spark.
You know what's so funny about that question?
What?
I am so creative. It's like a fish in water that I'm like, what does it mean? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I feel like creativity means to follow your inner guidance and express it the way it wants to come out. Some people, that could be gardening for them, right? Mm-hmm. Someone else, it could be being in nature. It could be poetry, it could be singing, it could be just going for it, writing. And not, I actually think the creativity's part is definitely not about like that comparison we talked about earlier. It is about fuck everybody, if I could say that. You know, it's like,
yeah.
This is about me, what wants to be born out of me, what wants to be said, and taking whatever off of you that keeps us suppressed or squashed or smaller than who we are. That's what I think it is.
No, I love it. I love it. Absolutely. You know, and I agree with all that. And I think for me too, it's just like a way to connect with source, spirit, God, whatever it means to you.
Yes. Yes. Like listening to that and then taking action from that. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you able to tap into your creativity all the time, or is it just like when it says, here I am, let's do this?
I am more of that second part.
But, I am too.
You know, and let me think for a second. I am definitely more of, oh my gosh, this is hitting me now. But yet I would not have had the success I've had in certain areas if that was it. Right. So deadlines definitely work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good to set yourself up to be in a container. Right. So I recently took a class for 6 weeks because I've been wanting to write a second show forever. So I had the creativity, I had the spark, and yet I wasn't getting it done. And then I was like, well, I need to do that. That is going to make me do it. And so I did. And I put 8 minutes of it up on a virtual stage. So I'm so happy I have that. So I feel like, yeah, I'm not someone who's like, I'm going to write every day and I do it. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. I very much am inspired and then I take action and then I set myself up for success with accountability buddies, with coaches, being in classes, and then my own self-discipline.
I love that answer. That is perfect. No, I agree. What's your next show going to be about? If you can share that, or you, if not, you can hang on.
No, I'll share. It took a long time. It's going to be about my sexuality and my eclectic nature. Let's say that.
Okay.
I think one of the lines is, let me think, wait, it was a straight woman, a bisexual woman, and a pansexual woman go into a bar. What do they have in common? And it's me. So there you go.
Do you have a working title for it?
No, I do not have a working title. No, I don't have a working title for it yet.
All right. So, nice.
yes. And it's, yeah. Pretty timely, but you know, for me, I explore myself through writing. So, mm-hmm. you know, when I put together my book on Hamlet, it was because I had to find a way to make sense of what was going on in my life. And I feel like I'm still like that. Like, okay, well, this is something I've wanted to really address and I'm confused and I, you know, so that's why. So it is a good show. I mean, the 8 minutes was very good. I know because it was very emotional for me to bring it together, kind of like when I was putting together my first show.
Yeah.
So in that way, like trust timing, right? Because I've wanted to talk about my sexuality for a very long time and nothing really was pressing, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I gotta do it.
It's
now.
Time.
Yeah, exactly. And then I focus on my Brooklyn Hamlet because I had that performance coming up, so we'll see when I get back to that, but I do have 8 minutes that are pretty good.
That's awesome. Hey, you got to start somewhere. No, and I really liked how you said you kind of try to make sense of your experience, you know, through whether, you know, for you, it's a one person show. I mean, for me, it's a variety of ways, but I think like spoken word and poetry and stuff, I think is a way for me to kind of like, yeah, do that. And I don't know, it's.
I love that, right? Because to me, I think it's similar maybe for you, but I'm not sure. Writing is one thing, but for me, actually putting what I have to say up makes a bigger difference. Like it's the missing piece, I think, and healing for a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it covers a lot of, checks a lot of boxes. I think it's like a connection to spirit. It's kind of sharing maybe some of what's going on inside me. And then when I share it publicly, it's also kind of another level of like owning it and, you know, just trying to be that permission person as well. You know, there's a lot of, there's a lot of aspects to it, obviously, for both of what we do, but it's kind of very, very healing. And there's nothing better for me, like when I'm in the throes of like connecting and like having something kind of come through me. And it's just,
so great. Oh, yeah, so great. That connection. It's all about that oneness for me. And I think that's also why I love to be on stage with it, even though it can be like, oh, I'm a little scared right now. It's, or it's a lot of work, right? Because a one person show for an hour, a lot of work, stamina wise too, besides the lines. But then there's the connection with the audience that is so amazing.
I can't even imagine. That's amazing. Well, what's some helpful creative advice you've been given through the years? Or maybe you just figured, you know, just kind of just followed your gut and your instincts. Well,
let me think, because obviously I did take a lot of classes along the way. One of the classes I took, I just remember, it was the Beverly Hills Playhouse, actually. I just remember one of the things that stuck out for me was play it for keeps. Whatever you're doing, play it for keeps. Like high stakes. Like don't play for the laughs. Because I do have a lot of laughs in my shows too, but don't play for the laughs, play for the truth of it. So that is really important for me. I have 2 years of Meisner training. So Meisner training was all about, so long ago, oh my God, it was all about being truthful. So that's like the cornerstone of my work. It's being truthful. Let me think what else though. There's a lot about being courageous, but I don't know if that is them or just what I've learned along the way. Oh, one big thing for me also in my 20s was fill the space instead of being small, fill the space that you're in.
I love that.
Let me think if there's anything else. What was the question?
Oh, just some helpful. Well, what's some helpful creative advice that you've been given through the years? I mean, you're giving me some gold here already.
Well, I've taught for so long. So let me see what I've taught that could be really good advice for creativity. Well, you have to own your story, be courageous, fill the space. Don't give a shit what anybody else thinks. Be willing to be bad. Oh, that's a big one. Be willing to be bad. Yes. Be willing to make a mistake. Because how many people stop themselves because they're unwilling to be bad? That's actually interesting. This time when I went on stage, it was such a different experience for me from even a couple of years ago. There was this part of me that has changed deeply. It could be with getting older. I'm not sure, but I didn't give a shit what anybody thought. Like, I want to do the best show that I ever could. And there was this part of me that was like, I'm not in LA to get an agent. I'm not in LA to get approval. I don't care what a reviewer says. And I've gotten amazing. I mean, I'd say for the last 10 years, I've gotten only amazing reviews. But I didn't care. Like, all of a sudden, there was this part of me that was like, I mean, would I want an agent or a manager? Maybe, but that wasn't why I did this show. It was, I need to get back up on stage. It's like, so what is it? Get back up. Whatever has thrown you down in life, for the show, I would say maybe it was the pandemic. Whatever has thrown you down in life, taking you off your course, just get back up. And don't worry about it being perfect. Don't worry about it. And I was very emotional in this show too. More emotional than I've been in a long time with the show. And I at first I was like, huh, Why was I like that? And then I was like, fuck it. That was just me. That's me. You know what I'm saying? So don't be afraid of being too big. That's a big one that I share. Like, I almost want to do a TED talk on that, but, or something. Don't be afraid to
you
be
should.
Too big.
Well, I think the place you're just talking about that you're right now, I mean, man, if we knew that when we first got to LA and stuff, and if most people do that, because we put eggs in the basket, and you put so much, there's so many expectations, and you put so much pressure on ourselves when we go into auditions and do all those things. It's just like, you have to be free of that to
exactly.
really be yourself. And if you know, I mean, that's what's going to ultimately attract them anyways, is
exactly.
being different and unique, because so many people try to do the same thing or what they think they want to see.
Oh God, I can definitely.
And I did that all the time. It's like, come on, Brian.
Oh my God. Years ago, because I haven't auditioned so long here. Oh my God. I just was trying to fit into a box of what would girl next door. I'm not girl next door. What the hell? Like, I wouldn't cast me as a girl next door. So, yeah, it's just funny, but it did, you know, for me, it did take moving away from LA to find myself and realize that, you know,
I think I'm kind of in the same spot.
Yeah, right, it's now, interesting, myself. Right?
Yeah,
it's interesting. Real talk with Brian. Okay?
Real talk. Gosh.
Yeah. So yeah. Don't be afraid to be bad. Like, don't be afraid. And what do you want? Like, look at yourself. What do you want? And here's another thing. Because I work with so many people who have a big message. They really, really want to help people. And yet they get stuck, like, wanting to be perfect. And that is like the creativity killer.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. And what? Like, just have the witness there that's like, and maybe it's your inner child that's like, let's play. Who cares what anybody says? Let's play. And you can always refine it. And I am definitely not saying don't be excellent, because I believe in excellence. And I believe also, if you want to be paid to speak, then you better be excellent. I don't believe, like, I know there's so much of like, you know, there's no competition, but I actually don't believe that. There is competition if you want to be the best. But it still is be the best you. That's the ultimate competition. But because I do, you know, in the world that I'm into, because I work with, you know, I just work with people who are newer and in business, let's say. And they want to get paid to speak right away. And I'm like, well, then put the hours in that I did. You know, you got to put the hours in. You have to learn your craft. Now, there's always outliers, and you can make great money, you know, perhaps being lucky. But I have invested highly in myself. And that was first with acting classes and writing classes. And then it was with getting on stages and, you know, listening to the audience and working it and rewriting and doing things like that, you know. So that's the other thing is put the work in. Put the work in. I think I don't think it's actually, it's not someone who's newer to business. It's not their fault. It's like living in this universe where you see, you know, the highlight reels and people claiming that they're making a bazillion bucks and they never stepped on stage before. And why don't you be like them? And it's just bullshit. Like, if you know anyone like that, you know that they, first of all, that was like the umpteenth take of the video that they've done. You know, and that they started, you know, if you saw their first video or you saw their first talk, they weren't making that money. So, you know, there's so much illusion going on depending on what you pay attention to. So that's why following your inner gut is really important and saying, is this truth? Is this true for me? And I could want that, but what really goes into that? You know?
So much good stuff.
thanks for having me.
Oh my God. No, it's my pleasure.
Great combo.
Yeah. We are, unfortunately, we're getting toward the end already. What are some things that you have going on now? Obviously, you're working on the new play, and you're probably going to still be doing some coaching and performing My Brooklyn Hamlet. Anything else?
Anything else? Well, I have a
memoir. Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, I'm not.
No, no,
I'm
anything else. That's just, no. The reason I'm saying that is because I'm doing so much more.
Yeah.
That
doesn't surprise me.
I have a membership called Soul Story Lounge. I love that because it combines everything. The the speaking, the getting on video with what's real, like what we're talking about today, like the nerves that come up beforehand, stuff like that. So I'm probably going to be growing that membership. I haven't had the doors open, but I'm also going to be, I'm not sure when this is launching, but I'm going to be doing, I really, really want to do this. So it's on my plan. I want to do another 30-day forgiveness sprint next month. And so I have a program called Phoenix Rising. So I'm putting that together because I feel like the world needs it. And it's not like forgive your enemy. Like the world's so crazy right now. It's not forgive your enemy without just listening to yourself, but it is how can you find more forgiveness in your heart so that you feel better and you can have a better life. I mean, there's themes and there's forgiving your mother, forgiving your father, forgiving God, stuff like that. But it's not about forcing forgiveness. It literally is just like 30 different healing tools that I've lived, that I've learned and taught over the years so that you can, the people who participate can choose what works for them. So I'm going to focus on that. And next week, I have I'm actually co-hosting the summit, Stop Writing, Start Selling, next week. And depending on when, November 6th, depending on when this people hear this, that's a free summit. So that's cool too. And then, I got a fire to do my show, my Brooklyn Hamlet again. So I'll probably start looking into where else I can perform that.
That's amazing. That's so much good stuff.
Thank you.
Brenda, thank you. This has been a really fantastic chat. Very grateful.
Thank you. I'm grateful too.
Thank you for listening to The Creative Spark. To learn more about host G. Brian Benson, his latest best-selling book, Habits for Success, and this week's amazing guest, please visit the show notes. And we love building community, making new friends, and spreading the goodness. So don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends and family. Until next time, as Brian always says, be well, be creative, and always be yourself.